Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Fireside Chat. Tonight, my guest is Athene Raphael.
Raphael, yes.
Raphael. Athene is an inspirational, spiritual, and motivational speaker, as well as a teacher. She is also a visionary, life coach, angel medium, telepath, and intuitive. Through personal contact with clients, she helps people gain clarity, insight, and direction within themselves and their lives. You can enjoy a wealth of written material and other resources on her website, www.athenaraphael.com. So let's welcome Athene to the show right now. Hi, Athene. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I got a little tense there because the last show ran over, so...
Well, you weren't the only one.
Yeah, and I realized you're probably sitting there waiting and praying to your
kind of
angels
going,
and guides. To,
I think I know what Pacific Standard Time and Mountain
Standard
Time
are. Yeah, so I'm sorry about that.
But you have to understand, I'm a psychic. We don't always know those things.
Exactly. I read you write articles which are posted on your website, and I read the one entitled Love, which is one of your more recent ones.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, having gone back to when you first emanated from Source, that you discovered you were a being of love.
Yes.
I'd be really interested, and I think the listeners would be interested, in finding out more about that experience and how that came about.
Well, what happened is that many years ago, I would say close to 20 years ago,
uh-huh.
I went through a major transformation in my life, where I actually began to get in touch with angels and other spirit teachers.
Oh.
And at that time, I started working with an angel called, I worked with Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, and I met Archangel Gabriel and Uriel at that time.
Okay.
But Archangel Raphael was the one that did most of what I call the inner journey work with me, or what some call soul travel or soul retrieval. There's a lot of different, you know, expressions for it.
Uh-huh.
But basically what we were doing was traveling through soul consciousness of past lives, not just past lives, but also this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered was that on my birthday every year, I was so depressed and so sad that I actually could not ever, like, have a party, leave the house, do anything except, you know, like, cry and feel bad that day.
Huh.
So I asked Archangel Raphael if he could just help me to understand why it was that way for me.
Uh-huh.
And so he took me into a trance state, and we traveled back. And every lifetime that I had been born in, I was never wanted. None of my mothers ever wanted me. It was either, a mistake, an accident, something, you know, bad in their life.
Wow.
And so it was, it was pretty devastating to me to realize, gee, you know, well, no wonder I'm depressed. Nobody ever really wanted me.
Right. Right.
And so I finally he said, let me take you back. Let me take you all the way back to where you first came from, because it hasn't always been this way.
Okay.
And so he did. And when I say take me back to Source, I had my first experience of coming into the light, or what people call coming into the light, when I was about, 33 years old.
Okay.
At this time with Raphael, I was closer to 39. But my first experience with what I called coming into the light is very similar to what people explain when they have a near-death experience.
Uh-huh.
I was actually laying in bed, and I got very, very cold. I kept turning the heat up and piling blankets on, and then I realized it was not a natural type of cold.
Huh.
So I just laid there, and then... closed my eyes, and after a while I realized that I was laying on a cold stone altar inside of a pyramid.
Wow.
And as I looked up through the apex of the pyramid, after looking around on the wall some and seeing some of the hieroglyphics and stuff, I realized that I was being pulled up into this light. But it wasn't. It wasn't white light. It was the color spectrum of light. And so first I went through this color spectrum, and then I was taken into this bright white light, which, of course, and I'm sure you've heard this story from many people, it was like sort of knowing everything at the same time and all at once feeling like you're at home. And knowing this is where you belong and that you don't want to come back. And then hearing some voice, even though it's not like a physical voice in your ear, but some voice saying you have to go back. And then being thrown back in your body. And it's quite interesting because it is very similar to what people call near-death experience. And so I've always had a lot of experiences and visions and things along that line. Very much been a part of my life ever since I was a child, when I started speaking to relatives who crossed over to the other side when I was very young.
Wow.
So, you know, many people say, you know, this word psychic, you know, this it's a word I do not like.
Right, right, me too.
It's a very generic term. It's kind of like, what it reminds me of is like saying, okay, you're an engineer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And then I go, well, there's a million kinds of engineers. What kind of engineer are you?
Right,
or
right.
Or you're a construction worker. Well, what do you do in construction?
Right.
The word psychic has become like this generic term, that umbrella under which falls so many different varieties and specialties of individuals.
Right, right.
And in reality, psychic is kind of like from the Greek word, meaning of the mind or the soul. Everybody's psychic. You know, you've heard this over and over, I'm sure. Every lecture I've heard where a psychic is talking about how everybody's psychic. What that means, basically, is that everyone has sense perception.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
You know, if I'm in the room with my husband and he's mad at me, I'm sensing that.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't have to look at him to know that.
Yeah, yeah. And so, a lot of people have that experience and don't realize what it is.
Yeah. And so that's the problem, is that they don't realize what it is.
Exactly.
And so they assume that that if that's what psychics are, then they're all just a bunch of nuts. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
Okay, because all they're doing is running around sensing if you're mad or happy or...
Right.
Okay, but in reality, in the old times or, you know, the times before, centuries ago, we were all known as oracles.
Yeah.
Or prophets or telepaths or visionaries or, you know, sensitives with special gifts of clairvoyance or clairaudience or, you know, we all specialize.
Yes.
And we're not God, which means that we all can't see everything all of the time.
Right, right.
And so, therefore, it's kind of, I don't know, sometimes I feel like being a psychic has become a sideshow in some way.
Well, Dionne Warwick did kind of turn it into one, didn't she?
Well, and not just her. I think that it's an easy way to be a con artist, if that's what you are.
Right.
And for someone else who is not educated, it's like anything else to me. It's like, you know, if I'm going to go find a doctor, I'm going to get at least some testimonials, reference, or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I want to know that they have some expertise in treating me.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, we're not doctors or physicians, we all have our own set of abilities, and we work from different levels of enlightenment.
Right.
And I think that's the big thing that's left out. It's like most people who really understand that they are a soul and spirit being are evolving through their own enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that enlightenment is what brings them the wisdom, the evolution, the self-realization that allows them to see into the different dimensional frequencies of what others call, the different heavens or planes of existence or, frequencies. that type of stuff.
Have you had experience with those interdimensional realities?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, you've got to tell us about it then.
Well, when we talk about interdimensional realities, we're talking about it's very normal for us to dwell in many planes of consciousness and reality at the same time.
Okay.
And how that operates is that we are part of the astral plane. It's called the astral plane.
Okay.
And in being part of the astral plane has many dimensions to it, and it is a place that most people assume that when they see someone die and they see this body leave,
uh-huh.
they think they're seeing the soul leave the body, but they're not. They're seeing the astral body leave.
Oh.
Okay? And the astral body and our physical body are so very much kind of interlaced with one another
uh-huh.
that when the physical body dies, then the astral body moves more into the astral plane.
Okay.
Well, the astral plane is a place where thought created whatever's there.
Okay.
And it has to have a place to be. So if you say, okay, well, we have a world of beings that are in a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of sadness and a lot of anger, and all that thought, all that feeling, all that energy has to go somewhere.
Right.
So it actually creates thought forms. Okay?
Oh.
And those thought forms actually come from negative emotions.
Oh.
And that negative emotion actually feeds off of other negative emotions.
Oh, dear.
Okay? And so what happens is that we've created almost like a continuation of a black cloud.
Wow.
Of this negative emotion, which is the closest to us because it is our creation.
Oh.
And so people want it to go away, or they want to move beyond it, but they don't understand that they haven't yet confronted their part in it.
Right, right.
Okay, I first have to admit that even though I'm pretending to be a really happy, good person, that when nobody's looking, I'm thinking these horrible, awful thoughts.
Right, right.
Okay? Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I mean, it's wonderful to pretend to be a good person.
Right.
But if your feelings and your thoughts are not backing it up,
right. You're not
that's what's really creating an energy.
Exactly.
That is feeding into another energy that's already strong.
Yeah, that has a life form of its own.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And so when we talk about things like mediums and psychics and channels, we're talking about reaching beyond that plane of existence into a brighter place, so to speak,
all right,
where other types of energies dwell.
So beyond the astral.
Oh, and not even beyond the astral. The astral has what I call the astral plane basically the soul.
Okay.
And I say that within the astral, there's what's called the upper astral and the lower astral.
Okay.
And in the upper astral is a wonderful place where you can see all these colors and you can see angels and you can see all the beauty that some might call the true reflection of heaven.
Okay.
And in the lower astral dwells all the creations of men's mind that have no place to go but the lower astral.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
That must be quite a place.
Well, it is, and also the other name for the astral or parts of the astral is called the Akasha, which is where I know you've heard people talk about the Akashic record.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's where the Akashic records dwell, is within the soul.
Okay.
So if we looked at soul and we said, okay, each person has a soul or what I like to call it, a medium for its spirit to connect with the body.
Right.
Because that's what the soul is, that's what the astral is, okay? And they understood how to travel within the soul, within consciousness, because that's the only way to travel within the soul, or astral traveling, which is kind of the same thing, not quite exactly.
Okay.
You know, all of these things are kind of the same thing.
All right.
It's a matter of perception.
Okay.
okay, I can meditate and travel within the soul without ever having to astral there.
Okay.
Or my astral body can go out there at night when I'm asleep and travel within the astral, and I may or I may not remember it.
And that's pretty common for most of us, isn't it?
And I may be like Dr. Moody, who specializes in getting the astral body out to travel in the astral to come back to document it.
Ah.
Okay?
Okay.
So, you know, there's a lot of different studies that are done by people about what the astral plane is and how to actually, you know, learn from it, explore it, discover that type of thing.
Okay.
So you say, okay, now I have this ability to move into my soul, and not just my soul, but the other part I call it is the collective soul.
Okay.
What that means is that once I understand that I am within soul, I now have access to everybody's memory on a collective level that I want to tap.
Okay.
So often I refer to the soul as a computer.
Okay.
That you have already programmed the information into or stored the information into according to what your incarnations have been about, your learning, your experiences, whether they be in body or not. And when you sort of decide or wake up to the fact that you have this ability to reconnect or access this information, then you begin to download it again.
Oh. Well, that makes sense.
Well, I'm glad it makes sense to you. I'm hoping it makes sense to others as well.
And as you said, people may get this in different ways, and the way you're describing it is probably the one way that you have gotten it, and other people might have a similar experience and not have the same words for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about what we're talking about is that it is all experiential, and so many people will not have words for it and may never have words for it.
Mm. What about the other side? Now, a lot of people have ideas about, you know, what happens when you cross over, and where is that located, and then how do you have actually met people who have crossed over, have you not?
I have, oh yes.
What's that like, where does that live, and
all right.
How does that happen?
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, there is really no separation in life, okay? Everything is a continuation.
All right.
All right, so for people like myself, there is no belief in death. For people like myself, it is simply one step to the next step to the next step to the next step. The body is a temporary thing, but consciousness is eternal. So therefore, when a person leaves this body behind, they enter into their astral body and they go to the astral plane.
Okay.
Now that's what we call, or is called by, you know, if you've studied anything in real theosophical terms or occult terms, you understand that that's what's called the first death.
Oh, yes.
Okay. There is another death after that, or what they refer to, and I'd rather say another rebirth, because to me, each of them is a rebirth.
Right, right.
Okay? So what happens is, when we leave our body, we, depending on who we are, and this is the other thing that I explain to people, because people seem to think that people think in small terms. They think in terms of like a house or a city or a town or even the world. Okay, and when we talk about the other side, we're talking about such a vast expanse that you can't imagine that it would be one thing. Okay?
Right.
Because just as there is diversity here, so there is diversity on the other side.
Okay.
Depending upon the level of consciousness with which you have developed in this experience determines where you will be going in your next experience.
Well, that makes much sense.
Okay?
Yeah.
So when we talk about, you know, and I'm really happy to see all this stuff on TV like Ghost Whisperer, Medium, and And Lisa, whatever, talking to those crossed over and John Edwards.
Oh yeah.
I'm happy to see it because it is important for people to begin to open their minds
yes,
to the fact
absolutely.
That there is no division.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now I would rather see it not all be so foreboding, you know. Always, you know, premonitions are about bad things that are going to happen. Not to say that there's anything. I believe that what we create today is what will be here tomorrow. So the world is not creating good things today. So, of course, foreboding premonitions are probably in order.
Yes.
At this
We're
point
in quite
time.
A state of affairs at the moment.
But I'm saying it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
Premonition doesn't have to be that way.
Okay.
So I go beyond that. I go into what I call the parallel universes.
Oh.
Okay. Which is also what you were talking about with alternate consciousness.
Oh, all right.
All right. Which is like there are levels of consciousness where beings do dwell, where everything is in harmony and ordered in a sense of respecting, just like if we respected the earth and honored the nature around us. Then we would work in harmony with that.
Right.
Then there would be no need for crisis.
Right.
At this time. But we have instead built boxes around ourselves to protect us from the outside, and we've even kept ourselves from, you know, allowing the natural things like farming and agriculture and, you know, things that are really a natural part of what our daily intake should be
mm-hmm.
to take place. You know, next door.
Right. Yeah, we're in quite a little pickle right at the moment.
Yeah, and there is nothing that ultimately can be turned. We cannot turn it around.
Right.
So therefore, we must create a new reality at this point in time.
Is that what people are referring to as the ascension?
Well, the ascension, you know, once again, now we're putting the ascension like it's one thing or
right.
something.
Right, and it's not.
It's not one thing.
Okay.
Okay, ascension is a process that we all go through on a regular basis.
Okay.
Ascension has to do with and the way I explain it is this. I'm always learning. So this is a learning level of experience that I'm at right now.
Okay.
And when I reach this level, then I began gathering pieces to a puzzle. And each thing I learn is another piece that I gather, another mm-hmm. piece that I gather, mm-hmm. another piece that I gather, and then eventually I have all the pieces to put the picture together.
Okay.
And when I do that, then I'm ready to move to the next level of learning.
Okay.
I'm ready to ascend to the next level.
Okay.
Okay? Now, when people talk about ascension, see, then I would have to say what people and what reference are they referring to?
Right.
Okay,
right.
A lot of people want to escape, and therefore they say that is ascension.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's not.
right, of course not.
Okay, they're waiting for the spaceships to come and take them away, and then and they're going
to
be saved
Jesus
and everybody
to return
else.
And save everybody.
And that sounds just like the biblical prophecy of two shall be in the field and one will
right.
be gone and the other
right.
will still be there. And, you know, all of these legends, all of these myths, all of these stories are true, but they're all saying the same thing.
Right.
But we're also interpreting it in our own manner.
Right.
And that's the problem. Because if I say my interpretation is right and your interpretation is wrong, then we don't have a consensus anymore.
Right.
So when we read great things of mythology, we should understand the context that it was put forward in. And say this is for each individual to interpret for themselves,
right? Right.
To discuss and share, and to glean new and greater perspectives by doing so.
We're very good. I like that.
Rather than arguing about who's right or wrong.
That's so much more compassionate, and makes so much more sense.
Yeah. You know, it's like it's amazing what a beautiful person a human being can be. And if a human being decides just simply to be the best human being they can be, then everything is perfect. But somehow that got lost in the shredder somewhere. And what do they call it? Money became the god.
Yes. Oh, jeez.
Okay, and what is it they say? The Indians, the Native Americans, you know, when all your trees are gone, when all your food is gone, when all your money is, I mean, your water is gone, can you eat your money?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's coming to that day.
I think it is. I sure see signs of it everywhere, don't you?
That's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
No, so people say to me, Athene, give me predictions, give me prophecies. I said, I gave you predictions and prophecies 20 years ago, and nobody did very much about it.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in predicting the future. I'm interested in recycling. I'm interested in doing what's good for the earth.
Yeah.
Those are the things I'm interested in. That's what I want you to be interested in.
Yeah.
Okay? Because me foretelling of the disasters to come, it's already been told.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, basically.
It's happening. We're in it.
But yeah, and it's unraveling faster than, you know, and it will continue to. According to some, we're headed for a major stock market crash pretty soon.
Very, very big things. I will put out predictions this year on the big things that will be coming up. But what's interesting to me is that no matter how many times I say this, I always feel weird saying it because I always feel like people feel like it's such a weird thing. But love is still the greatest healer that we have.
Yes, yes.
And that's what we still have too little of in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And and I don't think that it's such an elusive thing that we can't get our hands on it. And I also think that it's free. So
right.
Why not look for it? You know what I mean?
Well, you have to shut off your cell phone for a moment and stop watching American Idol and stop, you know, zooming around town, running errands and working. And to breathe for a few moments to be able to express yourself. You know, I can see where the love gets, you know, like you said, shredded right out of us in the process of daily life, trying to, you know, survive, and then that turns into greed and corruption and the rest of it.
Yeah, it's all fear-based. Life is
exactly.
All fear-based.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so what come out of a fear-based life is we're going to generate something that's really going to scare us.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, we get hyped on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I want to watch this drama, this movie on TV because I can't wait to see what's going to scare me.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And it's like, you know, and I'm kind of like, okay, why don't you just spend some time with yourself and find out if you like yourself or not?
Yes. Oh, thank you.
And if you don't like yourself, then why don't you make good friends with yourself? Because you and you need to be best friends in order to make it through whatever's going to go on in this life.
Yes, and some people can't be away from noise for more than a minute.
They don't. They don't take the time at all to find out if they like themselves.
They have to turn something on or talk or something. It's like people can't be with themselves anymore, it seems.
Not only be with themselves, but they can't truly listen to anyone else.
Right.
Because they can't make their own mind stop long enough to hear what the other person is saying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So
what did you say? Just kidding. I had to do that.
So I want to talk about this a little bit about psychics and mediums and channeling, because there's such a... I don't know, a misconception out there.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's labeling. To me, these are just labels that have been thrown on by people that sometimes are just too lazy to say what they really are.
All right, well, you straighten us out.
Okay, so we say, okay, a psychic is a person that senses energy.
Okay.
Everybody does that.
Uh-huh.
Some people choose to take it to a deeper level.
Uh-huh.
And to begin to understand that not only... can I sense energy through my five outer senses, but I have these same senses on the inside that I can develop and hone, and like you said, being quiet with the inner hearing,
mm-hmm.
okay, being quiet with the inner feeling,
mm-hmm.
the inner seeing,
mm-hmm.
okay, it's like, what is the silence? And, you know, there's so many different kinds of silence that you need to experience, that you, because there is language and communication in silence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people are afraid of the silence.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not saying things that they necessarily want to hear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay?
Yeah, I agree with that one.
All right.
Yep.
Then we go to mediumship. Well, what is a medium? Well, a medium is someone generally, the general definition, is someone that allows an entity to use their body to speak through.
Okay.
Okay.
Such as channeling and so on.
Very dangerous, first of all.
Yeah.
Extremely dangerous.
I would think so.
Not something that you want to do unless you absolutely know you've moved through that lower astral level that we were talking about.
Yes.
And you've gotten up to, like, somebody like an angel.
Right.
That if you're going to let them in your body.
Right.
That you want in there.
Right.
Because you really don't want somebody's Uncle Joe taking your body over.
No, I don't think so.
Because Uncle Joe might get real comfortable in there and go, why can't we just live together here?
Yeah, I've heard of many cases of that.
Okay, I don't really feel like leaving, and I'm here now.
Exactly, you're stuck with me. Okay.
So this brings us back to what I call this anchoring of light, which is the most basic principle for psychics and mediums and channelers, is that if you do not create an energy field of light around yourself, light and love being synonymous to me.
Okay.
Okay. That you have no way of protecting yourself.
Okay.
From allowing things to enter into your body that you may not want there.
Okay.
So basically, it's kind of like we have an aura.
Right.
Which is
right.
The energy field that we produce naturally. So why not utilize that energy field, reinforce it, and create a shield for ourselves, or more what I call a buffer, because we can't totally shield ourselves, but a buffer, and also have some method of deciphering what we do and will not allow to communicate or make friends with.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Which is really no different than your everyday life.
So how do you do that?
Okay, what you do, it's very simple. Each day you simply call forth the power of light that you are. When we say forth the power of light that I am, what we're talking about is my own spirit, love, essence. Okay?
Okay.
We are each spirit. We were emanated from spirit. That's where we originated.
And that's what we started talking about in the beginning.
That's right.
When you connected with that original emanation and felt the love.
That's right. So when I acknowledge that that's what I am now stepping into that. I am merging with that.
Okay.
I am anchoring that as my essence within my body.
Okay.
I am the power of light that I am. The I am that I am, I use the I am that I am, which some say is the name of God. I call it just a mantra of acknowledging spirit.
Okay.
I am that I am, I am that I am, I am that I am. Then often also just saying I am earth, I am air, I am fire, I am water. Now those four elements is what everything is made up of in this universe.
Okay.
Okay? Earth, air, fire, water. That's exactly the same thing our body is made up of. Those are the four elements that have the greatest energy and power here.
Uh-huh.
If I acknowledge that I am the same as they are, then I have their energy and power as well.
Oh, okay.
Okay? And then I throw in a few other things, like I am my teachers and my guides, my angels of light, I am the truth, I am, you know, whatever, the beauty, the love, whatever else it is that you want to add in there.
The positive and uplifting.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, each person is individual and unique. They have their own forms of how they may want to do it.
Okay.
And that's fine. as long as you do it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And do it often. Okay? I anchor light all day long. In other words, I sit down and I do it when I do my meditation. Sometimes I'll do it for an hour in bed before I go to sleep at night. I am continually anchoring light. As I anchor light, what I'm doing is I'm continually being a channel that's bringing that love, light, energy through into this third dimensional world so that anyone that's ready to receive or wake up to it, it'll be there for them.
Mm. Isn't it true that we are the only way that we're the conduits for that, that it can't just be delivered in a box?
Right, and let me explain why.
Okay.
All right. Since we have been created in so-called God's own image, we were created to be creators. Everything that has been created to be a creator.
Okay.
All right. Therefore, it is through our free will that we create or don't. Okay?
Okay.
In other words, if God, Goddess, all that is, source of all life, loved everything so much that it just said, you have the power to be, do whatever you want. I love you that much, okay?
Okay.
I put no expectations on you. I have no desire for you to do one thing or another. Do whatever you want.
Okay.
Okay? And so we sit there and we say, I don't want to do it. God, I want you to do it for me.
Yeah.
and God doesn't understand because God is not a thing. It's not a person.
Yeah.
It's an energy from which it allowed creation to create.
Huh.
And so that energy says, if you want me, I'm here for you.
Okay.
But I don't understand how to be anything but that.
Interesting.
Okay?
Okay.
Because there is, whatever this energy is about, I always see it as like the sun. And I call it the central sun. And from that sun emanates these rays, and from those rays emanate other rays, and from those rays emanate other rays, and somewhere along the line we're in there.
Right, right.
And as soon as I realize that I can connect to this ray and plug in, then that ray is already connected here and plugged in, and that ray's, and then I'm all the way back to the central sun, the source.
Okay.
Okay. Sense. Now all that is energy. It's not mommy and daddy.
Right.
Okay, I don't get to go say mommy, daddy.
Yeah.
All right. It just is.
Yeah.
And I can do whatever I want with it. And that's why people can do good things or bad things. I mean, energy in and of itself is not good or bad.
Right, right.
The people that use energy to create decide if they want to do good or bad. That's where the free will comes in.
Hmm. Well, it seems like a lot of people have chosen the bad here.
Well, if we say, okay, well, let's look at it as, you know, what they've called black magic and white magic. Okay, a black magician takes the same energy that a white magician takes.
True.
Okay? They're both using the same energy.
Right, right.
The only difference is when the black magician dies, he doesn't get to go where I go.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that was supposed to be a joke.
Well, and why would that be? Why wouldn't he go to the same place if his energy is just as valid as your energy?
Because it isn't his energy.
Oh. Okay.
It's the energy of the source that he's using.
Oh, I see.
Okay? With his free will.
All right.
To decide whether to evolve or de-evolve.
Well, now, what about all the beliefs that are popping up today about the Mayan prophecies and that we're reaching kind of a reset point, that Earth is evolving on in her own right, and that things are kind of wrapping up here, and we're going to be having to make a choice about what kind of situation we're going to want to be in the next round?
Well, not just Earth, but the whole solar system, the whole universe. I mean, everything is on its own evolutionary course.
Right.
We, as the so-called, quote-unquote, caretakers of the Earth, have pushed Earth into a form of evolution that she may not have, originally been on. But let's look at Earth as nature.
Okay.
And let's say this. Nature always corrects herself and balances herself. She always does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She always has and she always will.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so if the ozone is getting messed up, if there's all this pollution in the world, if we're putting trash in the seas, if we're, if we're not, recycling, putting back into the earth what we're taking out and all that stuff, what is the earth naturally going to do? She's doing it.
Yeah.
She's going to balance herself.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And it has nothing to do with liking us or disliking us. I like the way people put, Mother Nature unleashed her wrath.
Right.
So I'm like, no, she didn't. To her, this is perfectly natural.
Right.
Okay, she's restoring her balance.
Right. That makes sense to me.
Okay. This and this got off kilter, so now there's these volcanoes and these under-the-sea earthquakes, and these torrential rains. Believe me, and if we keep throwing her off balance, then she'll keep throwing back harder and harder, and she will win.
yeah, it sure looks that way.
Or she'll win. The Earth is not two-thirds water for no reason at all.
Well, is that one of the reasons why some say that the poles are shifting, and what changes can we expect if they are?
The poles, they're not just saying they're shifting scientifically. They have,
they have several times
acknowledged
in the Earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
The poles have shifted before.
And when they do shift, it's quite a dramatic change, isn't it?
It is. Okay. What I got as a as the empath that I am, and I'm very connected with the ocean floors and the oceans.
Oh, cool.
What I got from the last few months of the earthquakes under the oceans,
yeah,
and the volcanoes under the oceans,
okay,
is that land masses will begin moving.
Oh.
Okay. You remember, watching your geographical shows on TV and that stuff originally about when the land masses shifted and moved and due to the waters, it's going to happen again.
Oh.
And it's not, and once again, it doesn't have anything. Earth is not personalizing us out.
Right.
And saying, okay, you guys were the good guys, and so I'm not going to. Earth is just saying, it's all nature.
Yeah.
Okay? And the same with, like I said before, there is no death anyway.
Right.
So
right.
If we all drowned, we're just going to be reborn.
Right.
But we might not, be reborn here.
It would look that way, wouldn't it?
Or we might be hoping we're not reborn here.
I'm kind of hoping.
Well, depending on what the Earth's going to look like at that point. Unless I come back as a dolphin or something, I'm not sure if I want to come back.
Well, and they haven't gotten a very good rap lately either.
No, they haven't.
The way the Navy has treated them with the sonar stuff and the Japanese catching them in nets and eating them. And, I mean, it's just really sad that such an evolved species gets to be treated so poorly. But, we haven't done a terrific job of caretaking yet.
Yeah, and once again, coming back to alternate realities and parallel universes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And me being born of the water, going down under the seas, I was shown, first of all, I was shown in 1999 that we had passed the point of what they call the ring pass knot. In other words, there was never going to be enough that could be done to turn things around to restore.
Okay, I agree with that.
And they were showing me where, and once again, I believe in levels of intelligence.
Yes.
So there are some dolphins that are much more intelligent and whales and so forth than others.
Right, okay.
Many of the species that have become extinct here have been rescued and are on a parallel planet.
Okay, good.
At this time.
Good.
Okay, and so much of the devastation, and one of the things I was told and shown at that time also was this is not the first time that has happened either.
Oh.
Only with different species than is going on now.
Okay. Okay.
I thought this was a call-in show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, if people are welcome to call in. There's still a few minutes left of the show. If anybody wants to call in and ask Athene some questions or anything, that would be fine.
Wasn't sure because I did put it out that way, and I just didn't know. I put it up all over MySpace, and so...
You're the star.
I'm the star. That's what my husband said before I got on the phone tonight. You're the star now. All right, let's cover this last thing about channeling.
Okay.
Okay, we talked about mediumship. I want to talk a little bit about the difference between mediumship and channeling.
All right.
Channeling is more of a thing of like... you remember the pictures of saints or stuff where you saw the halo around their head?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Now, if you think about instead of the halo being round, it being like beams of light going straight up with different beams.
Yeah.
And said each one of those is like cable TV.
Okay.
A channel of communication.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right. And when you have these channels of communication open, you have the ability to reach into different frequencies and levels of consciousness, etheric realms, and so forth, and allow the information to flow to you. And once again, it flows to you as energy, and then you interpret that energy into words.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, when someone is really good at it, they do what this thing I call getting out of the way. In other words, they just let someone or some energy use their vocabulary.
Right, right.
So when they say the clearer the channel, the better the information, what they're talking about is the person that's able to get their rational mind and their ego out of the way the most.
Right, right.
Will be giving the clearest information. And the thing that I found is that by channeling and also tapping into, remember that soul collective consciousness that I was telling you about?
Yes.
I have also been able to develop my vocabulary, my intelligence, my education tremendously.
No.
So, you don't have to channel for another in order to open up your channels of communication.
Okay.
Opening up your channels of communication is fine for you to learn whatever it is that you want to learn from these different elements of beautiful, energetic beings and information that help you to understand who your true spiritual family is. And this is where the whole thing about spirit guides and angels and all of that, they are not separate and apart from us.
Okay.
We are an emanation of them.
Huh.
They are an emanation of us. As we open those rays, then we begin to understand how we are communing rather than communicating.
Huh. They're with us all the time, aren't they?
Always.
Yeah. And how many angels and guides do people generally have? Is there a number or is it...
There's so many different individuals that it's hard to say.
Because sometimes... I mean, I've heard some people say that, you know, every person has at least two angels. I don't know how they figure that out.
Well, I know that every person has, I don't really even know. I can't even say that about every person. Every person has the same ability to have the angelic presence in their life. Each person is born with that right.
Okay.
How's that?
I like that.
Okay.
Whether they choose to exercise that right or
turn into it
or away from it is a free will and choice.
That's right. It is definitely their birthright.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm looking at my notes. I actually wrote notes. All right, so what we come back to here is all the things that I really want to just kind of pull all together.
All right.
We are all mind, body, soul, and spirit. If we do not feed all of those parts equally, one part suffers, the other parts suffer.
Right.
Us spending too much time feeding the mind and the body, not enough time feeding the soul and the spirit, will cause an imbalance, a disease, hardship.
Yes.
And someone's feeding only the soul and the spirit and not the body and the mind will then develop an imbalance.
Exactly.
Okay? So it is important for people to realize that the goals are wisdom, evolution, self-realization, and overcoming and facing not only your demons in life, but your fears.
Right, right.
And if you don't do that, then you will always have regrets. And the one thing you don't want to die with is regret.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen to that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you don't die with regrets, you're definitely going to go someplace better than if you do.
I will put my seal of approval on that one.
Okay. And that doesn't have anything to do with heaven and hell or any of that.
Right.
That's your own creation.
Yes. Yes. Athene, we're going to be running out of time in a moment, and I wanted to make sure that people had a chance to find out where they can find your website, and
okay.
So could you tell us about that?
Sure. They should be able to find it through your radio show there, right?
Exactly.
If they go up to bbsradio.com.
Exactly.
And then the other is www, and the spelling of my name, which is a little confusing for people, but it is A-T-H-E-N-E-R-A-E. F like in Frank, IEL.com. And you can Google me and you'll find me even with the wrong spelling. And just put St. Raphael in there. I'm all over the web. You'll find me.
Yes, I did do that. Well, Athene, it was a real delight and pleasure speaking with you tonight. I hope it was interesting for you, too.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I hope you'll have me another time, too.
I would love to.
Okay.
All right. And
I hope to meet you sometime.
Yes, that'd be great. Great.
Okay.
I really enjoyed talking to you, and
I
hope the listeners enjoyed this, too.
Okay.
So good night, everybody, and good night, Athene.
Good night.
Angel Miss